It's Tuesday, 21st of February 2012. We're sitting in a lounge in Palmerston North. I'm Stuart Burks, and with me we have
Bruce Withall,
Dennis Quinn,
and Valis Pete.
And we're going to just talk a little bit about the sort of dances that young people would have in the 1950s. And I know nothing about that, but these other gentlemen here can raise some points. Now, what sort of dances did you have?
Well, the area that I grew up in North Canterbury had the feature of country dances through the winter season, where on a Saturday night there would be a dance in one or more of the little hamlets that ran through North Canterbury. Places like Fernside, Ahoker, and Sefton, and so on. And those dances would be sponsored by generally a sports club or a home and school or something, with generally a fundraising objective. And the young fellows and girls of the district would be enticed to come along. We would take an interest in it. We would look for the band actually is the draw, and we would know that if the star band of the district was playing at a particular hall, there was every chance that there would be a good attendance, and if you like, for want of better words, that's where the good nice girls would be, and plenty of, we used to call it, talent. And we would circulate the district on a Saturday night otherwise, looking at the halls, and we would arrive and see how many cars were there, and perhaps look in the door and see how many there were there, and if there was a good line of girls, well, we'd pay our money and we'd go.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. And
well, I can't really speak about it because it's all hearsay for me, because from school I went to university, so I was otherwise engaged doing studies and not able to attend these dances. Also, I was rather shy anyway, so I avoided them like the plague. And you can ask my wife about that.
Okay, Dennis, but Valis, you did go to dances.
Well, yeah, in Dannyberg, Southern Hawke's Bay Empire Tour and so on was a similar, to what Bruce is saying. There tended to be only one really good band, and they would play at one of those places. So there wasn't a lot of choices each week, but they would move from area to area. So there would be one at Terrihunga one week, and then a couple of weeks later it would be down at Paiatua, and then another couple of weeks at Woodville. And in our case, one or two busloads of nurses would come out from Dannyberg to the hall, so that provided the female entertainment. Most of them were run by young farmers' clubs, young farmers' groups, or country women's institute, country girls, and they would put the dancers on. There would be sandwiches and coffee and tea and things halfway through the evening, and you would take the opportunity to dance with several of the young ladies, and you'd often ask them if I could have the last dance with you, which seemed to be quite significant because you'd chosen somebody. But of course, at the end of the night, they'd get on the bus and go back to Dannyberg, so, and you'd get on your push bike and ride home. So you didn't often get a chance to, unless you were lucky enough to have a car, you didn't get the chance to see them again until maybe the next time there was a dance at another hall.
And there'd be one main dance that everyone would go to? Yes.
Yeah, you'd hear it, read in the paper, or you'd hear that the dance this week is going to be at this place, and then a couple of weeks later it would be at a different location, often with a similar band, yes. but different group of people because it's in their area.
So about how many people would go to these dances?
Well, I mean, at the time it seemed like it was a huge hall and it seemed like it was hundreds of people, but I've been back to a reunion since then and the hall's about the size of this kitchen, so
which
it's
hall
a lot
that?
Smaller than I thought it was.
Which hall is
Terrihunga, which was just down the road from our farm. So the halls were obviously a lot smaller than I thought, but I suppose you'd fit 150 to 200 people in there, I suppose.
Mm. The dances that we had in days gone by would be in halls that were quite large, and there'd be anything 100 to 150 at a good dance, I guess. The sociology was very interesting. The guys, lads, would all be standing round the door and looking quite uncomfortable, while the girls would be sitting up and down the sides. And at the announcement of a dance, you had to be quick if you were trying to get the favours of one of the good-looking girls that you had your eye on. And thereafter, you would try and dance with her all night. If you were lucky enough, you would be able to sort of sit with her and perhaps move in on her. And like Bella said...
Move in on her?
Yes, move in was a sort of expression of sort of...
dominate.
Yeah, dominate, and with the expectation that the evening might end with some romance, and that was what we were after. And to really secure that, you had to have the pivotal supper waltz. That was a sort of a tester. If you were able to secure that,
then you had to be waltz,
the
yes.
supper waltz. Yes, it meant you would then so
is
you
that
raced
the last
across.
One?
That no, that's the middle of the evening. Like Bella said, the supper would be served maybe about 10 o'clock, 10:30, for a dance that must finish at 12. By the way, so at 10:30 they would announce the supper waltz, and there would be quite a rush for the attractive girls. And if you'd been after somebody, and if you could secure for the supper waltz, you were halfway there. Thereafter, you might be able to dominate her dancing partnership for the rest of the evening, but certainly you would take her, when they called partners for the last dance, you're right by her. And hopefully you would ask her, can I take you home? And if she said, nah, my dad's picking me up, you would say, bother. But if she said, yeah, fine, you knew that. And in those days, it was in the time of constrainment in terms of social mores and things, and taking her home went a bit of a kiss and a cuddle in the back of the car, and then take her to the back door. But anyway, you had achieved something, and hopefully it might lead to something where you might meet up with her at another dance and so on and so forth. And many
so
a young
you wouldn't arrange to maybe go to the pictures at some time?
That could be an outcome. Certainly you might ask her now, next week are you going to the dance at Sefton, or another little hamlet? And she said, yes, good, you'd be over there to... Damn it, she didn't come, or something. So,
and you wouldn't phone up, or it wasn't a matter, can you get the phone number?
No, courting in those days was a pretty slow and steady affair for most of us, particularly, I was shy then.
Well, the girls were living in dormitory sort of things in nurses' homes, so they didn't have access to phones, or we didn't have access to their phones anyway. They didn't give a phone number out, so it was a question of waiting till you saw them again, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. If they weren't living, like Bella says, in a nurse's home or some teacher's college or something, they were living at home with mum and dad, and dad was sort of... You'd take them home and you'd see a light on in the kitchen, and you'd say, uh-oh, there's this.
So were the nurses' homes or... The dormitories, were they very controlled, or could you go in?
No, and they weren't allowed out.
They were locked in.
Yep. Not locked in, but they would sneak out
if they weren't supposed to.
Yeah. Yes. But they weren't supposed to get out.
Perhaps Stuart, at this point, we could tell the story of the smarter young farmers.
Yes.
Who would take or arrange free taxis for the nurses to go to the dance, but no transport home, which increased their chances of, in fact, taking that young lady home. This is second-hand, not my own experience.
But it's believed to have happened, yeah. Did you pay for the dances? What sort of charge?
You had to pay. I seem to remember it might be about 2 shillings would gain you entry. But as I mentioned earlier, they were fundraisers generally for some local group, like the Country Women's Institute or the basketball club or some such.
Local rugby club and so on. Yeah.
Was it the same charge for girls as for boys?
I believe so. I seem to think so. Yeah. Can I mention alcohol? That in those days there was a prohibition on any alcohol within 3 miles of a dance, and it was quite rigorously policed. But we, of course, liked to have an odd beer to help us along, build up the Dutch courage to allow us to go and challenge the girls, get the girls up on the floor. So to get that odd beer into us, we had to head forth and climb into cars and drive away down some back road and knock back two or three and then rush back to the dance.
Either that or you would try and hide the car around behind a tree or something like that. And I actually did get caught, a group of us did. We were over in Woodville and we had a car parked around a couple of streets away, and we were standing around the back of the car with the boot open, helping ourselves to a bottle of Tui each, and next thing there was the plod came around the corner. Hello, 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 what have we here? So about six or eight of us scarpered in all different directions, but I got caught by the collar, I wasn't quick enough. So had to front up before the beat. I don't know what happened. I don't think we went to court, but I got a good telling off anyway. But I think, from memory, I had to pay a fine of some description. So I have a criminal record.
So would people drink before going to the dances?
Not that you'd be aware of, really.
No, what we might call today preloading was pretty uncommon in those days, I seem to remember. But not unknown. Some people would arrive, but girls were in those days quite sensitive to alcohol, and they would sniff when you were dancing with them, sniff and say, "You've been drinking." And with some of the girls, that was curtains you heard. That was...
Didn't like the smell of alcohol or anything.
Far as you're concerned, they were concerned. That was it for you.
They wouldn't like anyone to make a fool of themselves over them or fall over. I don't know whether... Did you smoke in the hall? I'm sure they did. There was no... Yeah, it must have been. There wouldn't have been a non-smoking situation. We must have had a lot of people smoked,
so...
I would think we would have done. We would have sat between dances. We would have probably sat and had a cigarette. Can't specifically remember that, actually.
No.
Capstan. I know I smoked. I certainly...
Capstan.
Yep.
And what sort of clothes did people wear for the
dance? Well, country clothes in those days, before the days when you started dressing up, it was just slacks and white shirt and tie and a jacket of some sort. And sometimes we'd wear a hat. We used to have the old felt hat
that's
country boys wear.
Dressed up.
By today's standards, I believe we dressed pretty formally. Always in a jacket and tie. And the girls would be in their finery. In those days, it was a fairly full sort of dresses.
Lots of petticoats
and things, which was quite exciting and stuff. And especially when they spun around, and you could spin them right round and... And somebody might see their knickers if they're lucky, but
their knees if you're lucky.
And this was the 1950s, early 1950s, late 1950s.
Yeah,
for me, mid 50s, late 50s.
Yeah, because I was married in 63, and I'd already left Dannevirke in 58. So I was at school at 55, 56. So it was 56, 57, 58 in that area. Okay. Yeah.
What about hairstyles then?
Short back and sides.
Short back and sides.
Yeah.
Did you put anything on your head?
It was before the days of, Brill Cream. Mm. The old Brill Cream. Shiny.
You flick it back.
Shiny stuff.
Or have a, what was it? Quiff, was it called?
Yeah, parting on the left. And
a kiss curl.
Yeah.
That sort of
came a bit later.
A DA?
That came a bit later.
What's a DA, Daniel?
Duck's ass.
Oh. Could you say that again so it's clear on the recording?
What about...
And the girls would have had, starting to get the sort of teased up hair,
Lots of makeup would they have?
Not a lot. No, not a lot. Bit of lipstick.
I think we need female expertise here, Stuart.
Yeah, probably. Well, you probably have noticed. Yeah.
Mm. Perhaps if we can move on just to the type of
the music.
The type of dances and the music would, by today's standards, very, very staid and formal sort of music. Yeah. Waltzes and quick steps and Gay Gordons and so on. So there would be invariably the popular tunes of the day would feature, and that would get people up.
And popular tunes of 30 or 40 years even before, wartime tunes, you know. The Gay Gordons especially was, you know, Vera Lynn and that sort of stuff, and Scottish sort of sounds and so on.
Merry Battalion, March to Victory, blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
Would drive everybody along in great chunks.
Yeah.
And they'd play records or...?
No, there'd be no recorded music at all in my experience. I don't know what Vellis had, but it was always a live band, typically a piano, sax often, possibly a piano accordion, somebody pounding away on a drum and side drum, and
a big double bass,
possibly a double bass, and a trumpet maybe.
Any guitars?
No, there were. My experience, I don't recall a guitar at all.
Before
electric, certainly not electric guitars, just acoustic guitars. Yeah.
So, who were the popular singers or bands at that time? Was it just local, or were there some names that have carried over?
Well, I mean, for instance, there was the likes of Johnny Devlin, of course, who was who became a famous rock singer, infamous or famous in Whanganui, but he didn't come over here, so there was no one round here. It was Johnny Cooper was a Maori chap that had a band in the Palmerston North area.
Garth Young, wasn't he from Palmerston North?
Heard that name, was here.
A bit early, perhaps.
Yeah.
And so there were no national sort of pop stars or anything like that?
Well, Johnny Devlin was...
Johnny Devlin became one, and there were others that came in the cities, yes. I mean, you had...
Howard Morrison.
He came a bit later, but Howard Morrison. Max Merritt and the Meteors was very popular in Wellington. Then he moved to Auckland and then to...
Christchurch, we had Rod Derrett.
Rod Derrett, yes.
Who ran a very successful dance called the 99 Club, which I attended a number of times. Mm. Always took my best girls there. And
You had a harem?
My now wife.
Mm.
Yeah. Did you get people coming from overseas to play? Was it an American influence, British influence, or New Zealand had its own style of music?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, country dances were very, very basic music.
Music was really from Britain.
It was British music.
It was only with probably Elvis Presley and Bill Haley that we started to get American
influence. Yeah, what you heard on the radio.
Other than people like Sinatra and those singing ballads.
Yeah. So it basically came over as sheet music and people played it?
Yeah, it would have done.
Well, they'd hear it on the radio and learn it.
There were people like Guy Mitchell and Frankie Vaughan. Yeah, people like that. That was the sort of music that you heard.
Perry Como.
But more for dancing, it wasn't that type of thing. It was more, in our days, it was more very traditional, wasn't it? It was waltzes.
Yes, that's right.
And it was dance music.
Gay Gordons. Okay.
So where, if it was waltzes and things, where did you all learn those? Did you go to
ballroom
dancing lessons?
No, we learned at school. They did dancing at school, and they taught you how to dance in our school anyway.
So the school was a mixed... in the primary school.
Yeah, we would go over the road to the hall, and one of the mothers she'd belt out a tune on the piano, and they would show us how to do the Gay Gordons and how to do a waltz in our primary school, just for a fun thing to do every now and then. So, and also you'd end up dancing with your sister or your mother or someone like that. Some of these dances you went to at a very early age, Mum and Dad would go to the dances, and when we were little kids, and we'd go along with them and dance with Mum, you know.
Everyone would know those sorts of dances.
Yeah.
There were church dances too, which involved the family more so than the dancers you're talking about.
Yeah. Yes. And you'd have, the Valita and the military two-step, and of course halfway through they'd have different things like ladies' choice. So the guys would have to sit there and hope that they were going to get chosen on that occasion by a young lady who would. You'd hope like Heckel was the one that you'd been choosing all night or wanting to.
Did you make the excuse me dances because you finally
got
to the girl you wanted?
Yes. 5 seconds later, someone would tap you on the shoulder and you had to give her up and someone else would cut in.
It'd be the best mate in you.
That's right. Yes.
Now, you said there's a difference between the country dances and the city dances, wasn't it?
I believe so. In my experience, the city dances tended to be more populous for a start, much greater numbers, and they tended to be more sophisticated, and I would seem to remember the bands were probably more comprehensive.
Professional, whatever.
I mentioned 3 or 4 would be the maximum for a country dance band, but the city bands, you might have 10 members, and the whole thing would be at a much greater level. Mm. But we didn't seem to have the same sort of intimacy that we tended to generate in the country, where we tended to know, if you didn't know who somebody was, you sort of soon found out, and where did they come from, and the pivotal question was, where did they go to school? Why? Because you could sort of figure out their background. and as much as anything else, religious sensitivities, and which were still in the 1950s quite strong.
Because there were Catholic schools.
Yes, if the girl said that I went to St. Joseph's or something, well, you'd know straight away she's a Catholic girl, and of course... There was still tensions there, I guess. So you would perhaps move on.
Yeah. So what about the lighting of these dances? Was it you're laughing, Dennis. So were the lights on? Was it dark? Was it light?
Was it strobe lights? They would turn the lights off, or not off, but they would certainly turn them down for the last dance. But that's the only one that I remember. It was bright as day the rest of the time. But when they said, "Gentlemen, take your partners for the last dance," they'd often go and flick it. Someone would go around and flick a few lights off, so it became quite intimate. And it was the only time I can recall.
I'll agree with Valis. Yeah. Yes, but for the most part, the lights were up, be high and bright.
Yeah,
and all the better to see the girls and so on. But they were with the dimming that tended to come in more latterly. Mm. They had things called magic balls, which was a ball with a whole lot of mirrors in the middle, and they would shine a coloured spotlights on these things, and it would all go around the walls and drive you quietly insane, but otherwise the atmosphere was quite good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it sounded as if it was all very orderly. Were you chaperone? How old were the people there, and were there older people watching over and keeping order?
I think yes to that. There were definitely older people around because, quite often mums and dads would be there and people who were running it perhaps would be older.
You were talking about this was around the time you were leaving school? And
yeah,
so
I was.
So I was mainly teenagers?
I was 17, sort of 17 or 18, because then I went off and joined the army, so I moved right away from that area. But the dances carried on later on, and there were 20-year-olds, 19, 20-year-olds and so on.
I wouldn't be aware of too much actual chaperoning.
No.
I can recall in some instances where some girls' dads would be waiting outside the hall at 12 o'clock in the night to pick them up, and of course they would be highly embarrassed and all. And if you'd dance with them all night on the hope that you would be able to take them home, it was sort of bugger. My dad's ears, you would say, bugger, you'd say under your breath.
Okay.
Mm. All right.
Well, that's very good. We've got 25 minutes there, so thanks very much, Bruce, Dennis and Valis. Okay.